Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
So we are going to have the full landfall impacts very, very shortly, within the next couple hours, most likely, probably by 0800. It's going to make landfall on Florida's Big Bend. So please hunker down wherever you are. Don't mess with this storm. Don't do anything that's going to put yourself in jeopardy. And there'll be a lot of help coming on the back end of this storm. And we're ready to go. As soon as it's safe to do so, you're going to see all these different assets deployed. So stay safe. Mm. Any questions?
Do you feel like the state?
So the hurricane has made landfall this morning. We talked about this yesterday, and the storm surges, like I read one area in this one place in Georgia, this one county was getting, I think they said like 4 or 2 inches, like over 2 inches of rain, like a 40 minute period or something. It was craziness, 18 foot storm surges in some parts, just crazy. So hopefully everybody is staying safe out there, and it seems like they've had to do some rescues already because some people were trying to leave. My word, just the footage, it always comes in, and it's incredibly notable because of the part of Florida that this hurricane is hitting. It's the Big Bend area. So if you're looking at Florida, the panhandle, it's that little curve as you get into the panhandle. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, top of this first hour. Your lovable curmudgeon. It's a fresh fall, 88 degrees here in Texas, guys. We're celebrating. We're like, it's cool. I know. It's like freezing. I'm like, turn the heat on. Oh my gosh. I'm not even joking. It's so pathetic. It's been 111 degrees. So welcome to the show, Dana Lash. And we're going to get you set up with everything that's happening, not just with Florida, but also all the latest. Congress is getting ready. They're getting ready to kick back into gear. And it's going to be a brawl because they're going to have a budget brawl. And we're going to talk about this as well. We're also going to get into some of the latest with culture, update you on some of the stories we've been covering. And later on in the show, we're going to have a very interesting conversation with, I think, like one of the people right now, one of the key figures in this Hunter Biden investigation, Congressman James Comer, is going to join us on what's the latest. I mean, there's a lot to cover, by the way. I was reading, so I feel like Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia whenever I try to put this together. It's and you put all of the different, like the shell companies, and then who's tipping off the Biden family against all of this action taken, and then Jack Smith's friend, and it's crazy, right? I mean, this is going to be a movie. Do you know, the thing is, I don't think it could be a movie. I think you'd have to do a series. It'd have to be episodic because it's so convoluted and so insane. But I don't know. We're going to talk to him about that coming up. So at the latest, all the latest at the top, this hurricane. Ooh, my goodness. I like to watch some of the video in that because I think it comes in quicker on Twitter and Facebook, obviously, than it does cable news. But my goodness, it is just the flooding. Everywhere, Clearwater, Florida. And then they're saying that tonight's super blue moon could make it even worse. Super blue moon? For real? You just made that up to throw on top of this, didn't you? You just made it up to throw on top. Well, now, if you think that's crazy, wait for the super blue moon. Kane, you're like one of those tree and nut people. Yeah. You grow your own tree bacteria water.
Tree and nut people?
Yeah, like you eat healthy and stuff.
Okay.
Like you're with your scobies, your tea or whatever. Right. I don't even know what it is you do. That's okay. you do part of Kane is like part hippie, part survivalist. This is the funniest thing.
I'd say that's accurate.
Yeah, it's accurate. Okay, so does this mean anything to you, the super blue moon?
No, I just think it has to do with just light refraction. I don't think it has much to do with anything else.
I mean, because you have all these, who are these experts? Experts warn. Who are you? Where did you come from? What are you an expert? Super blue moons. I'm an expert on that. Okay, we don't need to add that on top of this. Go away. Take your little blue moon and go away. Shh. Once in a blue moon. You hear that phrase. So here we go. Once in a blue moon tonight.
It happens once every decade from what I understand.
I mean, I'm sure, I'm positive my mom knows all about this. She's the only human that I know who, she's raised by a farmer. So she still lives and dies by the farmer's almanac. Have you checked the farmer's almanac? Like that's her thing, right? Have you gotten the latest farmer's almanac?
I just find this though.
Yeah.
Apparently with the blue moon, like with all full moons, we experience a heightened sensitivity.
To like random things? So are people going to be more of a pain in the ass?
Over emotional and over fatigued.
Oh, great.
Type feeling.
So like what's the excuse for all the other days of the year? Is that what has been happening? We've just had like a super blue moon come and just stay? Is that why people are just so annoying? I don't know. I mean, that's, how can it be worse? So they're going to be woker. I don't know. But they said that they said that it's going to affect tidal flooding. And I get some of that, like the gravitational pull and the tide, because they say when the moon is full and the sun and moon are pulling in the same direction, it has the effect of increasing tides above normal ranges. And that's from the atmospheric science professor emeritus, or however KJP says it to make it sound like a skin disease, at the Massachusetts at MIT. So I get it. And when it's close, I get it. So it's going to affect the tide. So there's a little bit of a, that's how it could make it a little bit worse. I get that. But if it makes everyone else sensitive, just go home. Don't even look at the moon. Don't. It's like the, and it's, you know, sidebar, and I'm going to get to the real stuff here. This is how my brain works. I'm looking at the story and I'm thinking, you know, in the movies, when there's like a super moon like this, you know, you get werewolf stuff, cool things, right? But in reality, it's just people getting bitchy. That's lame. That's really lame and just kind of a letdown. So I think so far they've had everything ready. They know how to do this in Florida. They are ready to rock. They know how to get stuff done in Florida. They've had all these linemen standing by. God love these people that are going out there and all of this and brave in this weather and making sure that people's power either stays on or comes back on quickly. That's been amazing to see. But this is affecting a lot of people. I mean, we have listeners across the country, but we have a ton of affiliates in Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas and all that. So a lot of you out there are going to be affected by this. But if they tell you to just, you know, go, you know, just go. Don't stay there and think that you're going to ride it out, because you're going to make me worry and I don't want to have to worry about you. I got enough things to worry about besides worrying about somebody. I get it. I'm the same way, right? I get it. You want to stay in your home. That's your hobbit hole. I understand that. I believe me, no one in media empathizes with you more, but you got to be safe, right? You got to be safe. So I hope that everybody's doing just that. Now I wanted to touch on this. This was Audio Soundbite 10 because I mean, you're in a time of a hurricane hitting a part of Florida that it doesn't hit, right? Normally, like not in the past century. And this is what the media decides to do during a press conference where you have the governor of Florida talking about all the prep and what people, like letting everybody know exactly this is what you need to do, this is what is happening here, et cetera, et cetera. And this is what the media asks. Play the hit.
About Trump, you know, he's a resident here in Florida and he hasn't commented on Idalia at all yet.
It's not my concern. My concern is protecting the people of Florida, being ready to go. And we've done that. And look, we in Florida, you just have to do this. I mean, this is something we put a lot of time and effort into throughout the course of each year, knowing that there's going to be time where you're going to have to activate it.
Mm. Yeah. I like how he's like, I'm not even doing that. What kind of question is that? Well, you know, one of your residents here hasn't tweeted about the hurricane at all. So what do you, he's like, I don't care. I'm talking about a damn storm here. Okay, lady. I'm sure he wanted to say that, but he's being profesh. What kind of question is that to ask? That's our media. What kind of question is that? I mean, you got people that are like, am I going to lose power tonight? Am I going to be able to get back home? Is my home going to be there? Am I going to have a home? Can I even drive to my home, or is it going to be flooded out? I mean, you, and that's the question that they ask. I'm just forever, just when you think the media can't get more ridiculous, they will surprise you. Don't ever underestimate their ability to be completely ridiculous, because they will surprise you. And he just brushed right by it. You know, he's the, I get it. He's singularly focused. I am petty, so I probably would have snapped at her. Just like, what kind of dumb question? But he was very, you know, he's like, no, I'm focused. He's leading. He's doing his job. He's leading right now, by the way. He's leading. Compare this to Biden. By the way, where the hell is Biden? He hasn't been, where is he? I just realized we got him still. Where's he at? Have you guys seen, wait, hold up. Have you seen a headline of him? Let me go check my Google alert. I have Google alerts and all kinds of stuff that I have, like different columns on Twitter. That's why I want Elon Musk to never take away TweetDeck, because it's better than a wire service. And he hadn't really come up with it. He hadn't really been anywhere, right?
Well, he was talking about drug caps yesterday.
Yeah, he was talking about how our medications are going to get more expensive. I get that. And then he shuffled off and went to sleep, had some Ensure and went to sleep, I guess.
That sounds right.
That sounds about right. Yeah. But he hasn't been, has he said anything about the hurricane?
No, I think so.
Can I just add something here? Now, let me just bring a little, let me do something scary. Let me bring some common sense into this who commented on the hurricane thing. This is the thing our media does. Now, yes, this, because they were immediately trying to use the, and DeSantis didn't take the bait. He doesn't take media's bait. We need more politicians who don't do that. But they were like, Trump hasn't said anything at all about this hurricane at all. He was tweeting some videos last night, political things, but not the, but they were saying he hasn't said anything about the hurricane at all. What is the intimation there? Like, if you're asking, pretend you're the reporter, you're asking that question. What are you implying? So why does Trump hate Florida and want it to drown in a hurricane? That's right. That's the implication. That's what you're getting from this. Right? Doesn't it what it seems like? Am I being too super blue moon?
No, that's accurate, though.
Right? That's what it seems like that they're getting at here. But there is this measure. This is what the media does. They always look, if something happens, especially if it's advantageous to themselves, it's like they stop and they do a look around the room. They take inventory. Who has commented? Have you commented? And they use it as a measure of humanity, how quickly you can go and tweet something. And there will be some people who say it doesn't matter unless you tweet it. Those people need to go touch grass, because they've lived so long on social media that they've melded with it. Like, if you sit on your sofa too long and you're binging something and then you try to get up and you're like, my legs have become one with the couch. It's like that. But it's real. I don't know. That's the impression that I got from this. Now, coming up, this is some of the stuff that we're hitting. The administration, we just mentioned, the drug prices. They're pretending that they're negotiating. We're negotiating with Big Pharma. You know, the people that we sought to forever enrichen with the mandatory clot shots and all this other stuff. We're going to get into that as well. Plus, Hunter Biden, he had this plan to close down the probe into the Burisma founder by Shokin. And he apparently was trying to gain intel on the top prosecutors in Ukraine. We're going to get into all of that. We also have an update. Remember the little boy, the precious little, he's a young man. I get it. He's like 12 years old. That sweet little boy, Jaden, whose backpack was a third of his size. He's allowed to keep his patch and return to class. Remember we talked about this, the Colorado Springs school. We got an update on that. Also some Law and Order. We've got some weird stories on that one. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time, and the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations. And this 12 gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12 gauge pump action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells and with dual tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and in control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KeltechWeapons.com and follow Keltec on social media. Visit KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I got distracted playing air guitar at Bark at the Moon there for just a moment. All right, so everybody's going to lose it. America's going to conduct a nationwide test of the emergency alert system across all cell phones, TVs, and radios, 2 p.m. on October 4th. Don't lose y'all's minds. This is 5 years after the fake bomb chaos in Hawaii. Hawaii can't get a damn thing right about like public announcements, right? They couldn't set off the wildfire siren. They couldn't do that alert right 5 years ago. So on October 4th at 2 p.m., it'll be the nationwide test of the emergency alert system. So just chill. It's a test. It's only a test. Okay? You know people are going to lose it. So this is sad. I saw this story and it made me instantly infuriatingly angry. It says, quote, "The rise of the Nepo homeowner. 4 in 10 under 30s rely on family money to cover their down payment on a property. Every family should be able to do this. You commie bloodsuckers. Every family should be able to do this. What's sad is that hypertaxation and excessive government spending have made it to where something like this is considered unusual. It should be that every family can, if you aren't so taxed by an overspending government. Let's be real. Dangerous. Hurricane Idalia hit landfall. We talked about this. Now it's in Georgia. It's crossed that Florida-Georgia line, headed northern in Georgia and for the Carolinas as well. First ever alien objects found on Earth. A Harvard physicist says that hundreds of tiny fragments that he found at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean are from outside of our solar system. Interesting. So I'm curious, though, like, did he go get them off the bottom of the Pacific? They're fragments that came from an object that crashed in 2014 in the Pacific. This physicist said he spent 2 weeks searching for them. He wanted to prove alien life. And these remnants, it's like a meteor-like object, and it was off Papua New Guinea in 2014. So he says it could be fragments of an alien craft. Could be. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
A drug company that makes a drug here in America, if it's sold in Chicago, you can buy the same drug in Toronto or Paris cheaper than you can buy it in Toronto. I mean, excuse me, in Chicago.
You know, Kane, you can buy this cheaper in Toronto than you can in Toronto. It's crazy. I mean, Toronto is what I meant to say. Vote for me. Schmo Biden. Oh, man. That's the president. Yeah, I feel like he needs some crack, right? Just go ahead and if anybody needed the cocaine in the White House, it's him. It's the president. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. It's him. He was trying to talk about drug prices, and I don't think it went over. So notice how no one's talking about any of the stuff that he says. Like, he tries to roll out policy and nobody talks about it. Everyone's miserable. Everyone's broke. They all know they're getting smoke blown up their backside. Come on. Oh, and then Kane.
Yeah.
You did see that they pitched more billions for Ukraine yesterday, correct?
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Okay. I guess you're past your moment, because anytime this happens, doesn't matter if it's like 9 o'clock at night, Kane's in Slack. Look at this. It's like Hulk smash. It's crazy. So I didn't see that from you yesterday. So I was like, is he past the point? I was just wondering. That was interesting. So this, like I said, the president is on his, I don't know. Did he go back to Delaware? Where does he go? Like I feel like they take him out like a Roomba to do some things. And then he goes and sits in his little charger. I don't know. I don't know what he does. I don't know what he does, but he went out. He was, it was weird. He, I feel like they limit how much time he is, his press avails. Notice they've gotten shorter and shorter and shorter, and doesn't take any questions. And he really doesn't do any photos either. I noticed, pull this up. The Red State had a good piece on this. He had a photo op with a Costa Rican leader. And, yeah, it didn't really go very well. It was awkward, and he didn't. That's when we played that soundbite when he was confusing Toronto and Chicago, because they both got O's. And it just seems he doesn't know where the hell he is, I think, or what he's doing. And then he had to do these remarks. He was with the president of Costa Rica. And normally, like when you do these things, like y'all are sitting in the, you know, that they both sit in the chair and it's a fireplace shot. They get the fireplace in the middle and they just say a couple of, basic generic things like, oh, we're so glad to have him here. Not like it's disingenuous, but that's all you really say, right? You don't conduct right there with all the press, like a serious conversation. The press comes in, everybody gets their photos, Costa Rican press, everybody else, and they go back out. But he didn't even do that well. He struggled, and his were entirely pre-written, and he had a note card. Like, the Costa Rican president didn't have a note card. Joe Biden had a note card, and he struggled to read from it. And at one point, as he's doing it, did you see this clip? It was weird, dude. The Costa Rican president, at one point, you know how you tap your fingers if you're a little impatient? I don't know if he was doing that subconsciously, like he just started doing it and didn't realize it, but he had this weird look on his face like, dude, this is so messed up. That's what I got anyway, just from he just looked like this is so messed up, and we all know it is. And Biden was struggling. I mean, just a basic couple of sentences on a note card, and it just, everybody sees that it is an issue. These world leaders that meet with him, they see that it is a major issue. And he just, guys, he's not even getting through these basic things well. This is bad. Why do Democrats do this? They always hide this stuff. Like FDR. They hid the fact that that damn man was dying in the middle of World War II. You know that, right? Like, they started limiting everything he did because he's dying. He died in the middle of World War II. They didn't want anybody to know. They hid it. It's weird to me. But I thought, the Costa Rican president was very, but it just was, I don't blame the dude. I gotta be real, I don't blame him. It's weird. Listen, Juan has some of this. Listen to this. It's just weird.
And for your leadership on the migration challenges that that we face every single day. But today, I also want to thank you for deepening our security cooperation. That's one of my objectives today, and I hope yours, including dealing with organized crime. And as we discuss our work through the America's Partnership in Economic Prosperity.
Okay, I have another thing I wanted to ask you. Guys, this is just for the dudes. Okay, so dudes, when you wear a suit, like say you're going to a wedding, you're going to a funeral, you're at church, you're in a suit, you're in suit pants, okay? You wear your dress socks pulled up, you got your dress shoes on, if you're not wearing your cowboy boots, and you got dress pants. And sometimes when you sit down, if you kind of cross your legs where your knees laid out, your pant leg comes up, right? And it's just like almost reflexive. You kind of sort of stretch your leg out and you pull your pant leg down, then you reposition yourself and you sit. The thing that I noticed with him is that when he sat down, he bunched his pant leg up and didn't even fix, his leg naturally bunched it up. And then he just didn't even mess with it. And that bothered me the whole damn time. His pant leg was bunched up. Okay, Kane, please speak to this, because to me, I was like, that's something wrong with you. You're not fixing your pant leg.
Yeah, I think it's weird. Maybe a physical restriction, like maybe he physically can't
fall out of
do
the
it.
Chair.
Yeah, exactly. Going to have another sandbag on the stage moment.
Isn't it? Wasn't that weird? Am I just like thinking, am I putting too much into that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean,
either.
It's important to see what our president is capable of doing. And so far, we haven't seen much.
Because I noticed at one point, the Costa Rican president, he did straighten his own pant leg. I pick up on all the body language. Like everybody's got a tell. Everybody's got a weird thing that they do. And I just noticed that that was something that if you were fully, I think, cognitively there, you would have done that. Like, right, gents, y'all fix your pant leg. Because it bothers you, doesn't it? Bothers you if it's like you feel it. It's just, I don't know. That's that and the fact that his tie was all messed up. Like his tie was all bunched up and he didn't just take it and flatten it so it doesn't get wrinkled or a crease in it. He didn't do that. And he was hunched over like a cocktail shrimp reading this note card. It was awkward. Now, the Costa Rican president, again, he was very kind, but you saw how he for those of you who are watching the simulcast of our radio show, and by the way, y'all can go back to YouTube at any point. You can look at this. Just go to our first hour and you'll be able to find this video. You could tell that, man, he was thinking Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. We're doing this. We're pretending that this is okay. That's why I don't think a lot of, as I said going into this, I don't think a lot of Biden stuff is hidden, because he could barely articulate a single sentence. He can barely speak. It's just weird. It's just super weird. And it's like elder abuse. It really is elder abuse at this point. All right. So you guys remember the story about the kid, the 12-year-old in Colorado Springs, who had a flag patch, a Gadsden flag patch on his backpack, like literally a military authorized flag that was created as a warning to the Brits about what happens if you keep pushing us on our individual liberties, and literally had nothing to do with slavery. And you had some bonkers, illiberal, just absolutely bass backwards teacher in Colorado Springs who was so ignorant, and I think she should be fired. Any teacher who was sitting here trying to gaslight this kid into thinking that he's a racist because he had a military patch on his backpack, they ought to be fired. Can that broad now? She's too damn dumb to teach. Actually, like, making an issue of him. So, and even the Democrat governor weighed in and was like, everybody knows the history of this flag, except this stupid teacher who apparently got her teaching degree in a Cracker Jacks box. Do they still do that? I don't know. So he now gets to stay in school and he gets to keep his patch. Good on him, though. Like, he didn't stand down, and his parents let him lead on it, but they supported him every step of the way. That's so cool. Now the school needs to be held accountable, because you got teaching moments. Those are important for kids. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what else is important for kids? When adults mess up, especially to this degree, you need to hold them accountable. You don't let them get away with that stuff. You hold them accountable so that kids see that even as adults, when you mess up this bad, and this was not, I don't believe that this teacher's error was innocent. I think she's an ideological bigot and she's too stupid to teach. And this woman needs to be held accountable. Don't misunderstand me. This has nothing to do with vengeance. What this has to do with is making an example of a teacher like this, so no other teacher gets this idea to abuse a kid over a politics. And that's exactly what this is. This was abusive to this child because of this broad's politics. And she should be made an example of. This is where the parents can muscle up a little bit more, because they let this sweet boy lead. And that's good. Now, mom and dad, now it's shove time. It was push time. Now it's shove time. Because this is insane. You know how many, I can't even imagine. We had one teacher. I don't want to give too many details. But one of my sons had a class, and he was drawing, him and his friend were in this class, and they were drawing, you know, pictures of literally like soldiers fighting terrorists, right? And this one teacher, and this was in a private Christian school. That teacher is no longer there, by the way, because apparently that teacher had a lot of issues with a lot of other parents, and this is kind of the final straw. But that teacher was apparently so sensitive that she saw these two students, drawing these soldiers. I mean, and that's literally what it was, killing terrorists. And, of course, what do soldiers use, Kane?
Guns.
Yeah, they use guns. And, you know, I guess she, because she was an ideological bigot, she was like, oh, you have to go to the principal's office. And my first response was, I'm framing this damn thing. And if you suspend him, I'm going to make you famous. And I'm going to take him to Six Flags. So, you know, choose your fight. So nothing came of it, obviously. And she didn't finish out the year at the school. It was stupid. It was dumb. I cannot stand people like that. If you're going to go into education, go to education. This whole, I'm going to shape the child's mind. That's the parent's job. That's the parent's job. Now, your job is in your particular discipline. I got to tell you, I had a fantastic social studies teacher when I was a freshman in high school. And she was super, she was left. She had a damn Clinton Gore sticker on her chalkboard. But she wasn't an ideological bigot. She really loved her subject. She's the reason I got into politics. I always wonder if she rues the day, you know? But she was never an ideological bigot. She was very, I mean, you knew what she, I mean, she had, you know, the Clinton Gore sticker on her chalkboard, and she was very, you know, you knew what she liked. Some of the parents, I think, took issue with it. But she loved social studies. She loved it. She loved her subject matter, and it came across in the way she taught. Like, she was so energetic and so into the material. She made learning so fun. But again, she was an illiberal. And she wasn't a bigot. She just taught to the subject. And it wasn't, she did not value her own perspective so much that she thought she had to use it as a lens through which to project everything. And she respected each of her kids, each of her students' beliefs and abilities. I don't know why teachers can't do that. I don't know. I don't expect people to be a blank slate for politics. But what I do expect is that you love what you're doing more than you love your own ego as it relates to your political beliefs. Because a lot of this is just ego fellation, if we're being very straightforward about it. But she was a great teacher. It was at Seckman Junior High. I'd say her name, but I've always been afraid to. But I sometimes I wonder. I'm like, man, I wonder if she knows what I do and if she hates what, because it's all because of you. It's like that commercial from the 80s. I learned it by watching you. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
2 weeks ago, we celebrated the first anniversary of the Inflation Reduction Act, which in a sense is misnamed. We did lower inflation, but there are many other things in that legislation.
Wait, what did he just say?
Did he admit it?
He just said it's misnamed. So he's admitting that it just didn't work? It's what it sounds like. I heard that correctly, right, Kane?
Yes. Yes.
I've had a lot of... Well, sidebar, I did one of those things where I had my heart chews, my super beater. People are like, do you really take? Yes, I take them. But I thought, I was like, did I take them? And I had already taken two. So I had another two. And then I was like, did I take them? Because I had six. It's okay. It's all right. But I'm just saying. So I'm a little wow today. But I no jitters and no crash. Anyway. My whole point is, did I hear that accurately?
You did.
I did. He's like, well, it might be misnamed. I love it when they say that out loud. You know, his handlers have just got to be facepalming.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, he ruins it for them every single time. They've got to be facepalming. Gosh, it's just so fascinating to me. I'm going to tell you. All right. So coming up in our second hour, we got a few things we got hit on. So first and foremost, we got to talk about some law and order. Can you imagine being a television news crew in Chicago and you're doing a story? They call a man on the street, MOS. So you're on the street with your camera and you're talking to people and you're reporting on some of these robberies that have been happening. And oh my gosh, you're robbed right on camera and they take your camera. Yeah, that happened in Chicago. We're going to discuss some of that. Everybody's leaving. Apparently all the young, wealthier people are leaving California. Like people under the age of 50 with money are leaving California. Now, unless you vote a certain way, I feel like we're going to have to put some signs out West Texas being like, oh, pointing to Oklahoma. Although, look, I'll take California. If you're going to vote right, you want lower taxes, you want to be left alone, oh, I will totally take you. I will point you towards all of the California Modern new subdivisions that have been cropping up that have made it to where I had a 4-month wait on concrete to build out the new studio for the Dana Show. That's how crazy it is with construction in Texas. Heaven on earth. All right, so we're going to get into all of that. We also have, you remember the teacher last year, the Z cup fake boob teacher? Okay, so that's back. I gotta give you an update on that story. We're gonna get in the latest of 2024, and we got also Representative James Comer on the way. Stick with us.
Mr. Biden has run his entire political campaign for 50 years as the family man. Well, I've got news for you, sir. The curtain has been lifting, and that campaign slogan will never work again. We have seen what's going on in your family, and even worse, we've seen how you've been treating us as Gold Star families. And there couldn't be anything more disgusting and cowardly than the way you have treated us. You are a disgrace to this nation. You have no business having ultimate command over our military. And I regret not saying that to your face when I had the opportunity in Dover. I felt it more important to bite my tongue. But I also had more important things on my mind at that time, like receiving my son's lifeless body stateside. While I stood there on the tarmac, watching you check your watch over and over again, all I wanted to do was shout out, it's 2:30. But out of respect to the other grieving families, I bit my tongue once again. Well, as you could probably tell by now, I'm done biting my tongue. You, sir, stole their lives, their futures, their dreams, and have ripped apart 13 families. You cannot even man up and admit that.
That's, oh man. That's just, that's powerful stuff. That's Mark Schmitz. And he is the father of Marine Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz. He was one of the 13 U.S. service members killed in that bomb blast on August 26th of 21 during that horrific, catastrophic evacuation in Kabul. And he was in, that was during a discussion with the House Foreign Affairs Committee, a roundtable discussion. And he also had added, nobody's been held accountable. And he said, our leader can't even utter their names in public. Welcome back to the program. Top of this second hour, Dana Loesch here with you. You can see, I mean, just you can hear it in his voice, you can see it in his face, and he is still justifiably, righteously angry. And he has every right to be. These were his early remarks, audio soundbite one. And somebody needs to say it. And if not him, then who? Listen to this.
2 years has gone by, and where are we? To be frank, we're knee deep in is where we are. Everyone who held a key position in the military still has that position or has been promoted. John Kirby still sits on his perch, which apparently faces the opposite direction from where all the action was. Blinken continues to delay key evidence by delaying subpoenas. Not a single general slapped down their stars, which should have happened 2 years ago when Biden ignored his reliable intelligence. Not a single person has been held accountable.
And he's right. Mr. Schmitz is absolutely correct on that. You know, the thing that gets me is they knew, I was talking with a friend of mine who was actually working with some of the families and with the House, saying that, you know, the guy who came towards those gates at that airport, Hamid Karzai Airport in Kabul, where everyone stupidly was relocated instead of just going to Bagram, where that was a secure military airport outside of the city, so you didn't have all of the urban chaos, you know, with and tons of people and buildings and everything else. But then they, for whatever reason, they decided to locate to Hamid Karzai Airport. And my friend was saying that the military members knew this dude who came and detonated. He was a known terrorist. He was known to be associated with terrorists. He was known to be violent. He had been scouted before. They had seen him previously, I guess in kind of like a dry run. And so they knew what was coming. And that's what guts me. And imagine being their parents, knowing that their service men and women, their children, knew what was coming. It is one of the most infuriating things. And they were so young. They were literally 20 to 23. They were so young. The oldest was Marine Corps Sergeant Yohani Rosario Pichardo, who is 25, of Lawrence, Massachusetts. So he's the oldest. But everyone else, they were between the ages of 20 and 23. I mean, it was entirely uncalled for. And, you know, to put it in perspective with this, even Mark Milley, and I can't say this enough, and I know I've talked about it before, and if you've heard it, just indulge me. Even Mark Milley warned Biden, you can't withdraw like this. Because the question was never, Republicans never opposed withdrawal. My gosh, who do you think were the people that were pushing for it first? The non-neocons and the GOP. It was never an issue of if to withdraw. It was always how to best do it. You know, we talked about sounds odd, but it's true. And talk with Tim Kennedy about this too. The seasons in Afghanistan, you know, you have opium harvesting season, or you go out and you harvest the poppies, and then they go up to the mountains, and then they stay for winter, and then they come back down, they fight with all each other. And, you know, military, all military counsel to the White House was, look, this is how you have to approach this. If you're going to do it, this is when you need to do it. This is how you have to do it. You have to leave a residual force. You can't just do a fast withdrawal, because what's going to happen is the Taliban's going to roll through. Literally exactly what happened. And, you know, I'll add too, because people keep going, oh, Trump wanted to pull out. He did. Yeah, he wanted to do the same thing. But you know what? There's the difference. When military counsel to him said the exact same thing that they said to Biden, he listened. Wow, amazing. The difference. Wow. And he's like, no, I'll leave, what was it, 1,300 residual force. I think it was 1,300. You know, leave a residual force. And so he did. That's the difference. So when people tell you, yeah, but Trump wanted to pull everybody out. Yeah, he did. But you know what? When all of the generals and all the experts and everyone else told him, look, you can't do it like that. And here's why. He listened. Whereas Biden was like, no, I'm desperate to have that talking point. I want to have the talking point of being the president that did it. That's literally the only thing that they were concerned about. They got 13 military members killed so Biden could have a talking point. There is nothing that should ever cost that. And that's what's so infuriating. So infuriating. And then Lorraine and the chat folks. Yeah, they bring up a good point. Remember the family that got targeted in retaliation for the airport bombing that had nothing to do with it? Mm-hmm. Y'all remember that story, right? And there were kids in the car. Oh my gosh, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. I don't know. Whenever I hear stories like this, you know, I get so enraged, because we've had, I don't know of anybody that doesn't have anyone in their family that hasn't served in the military. We have a lot of military folks in our family. And then as you get older and your kids get older, you know, one of my sons, my oldest son, one of his friends went to the Marines. I'm like, oh my gosh, like You start looking at that, you add that perspective onto it too, and it really just, it enrages you. And to shut, I mean, honestly, can I just be frank? If you shut down Bagram first and you don't make that your exfil site and you use Hamid Karzai, are you asking for trouble? I mean, I'm being genuine here. Are you trying to get people killed? I have no other, I mean, I'm not being rhetorical. I literally am asking that because I don't know. It just seems like the dumbest way to do stuff. I am so glad that these parents are saying this. Do you think that any of these parents are going to get their moment on CNN or MSNBC? No, probably not. Probably not. Just saying. You know, when Trump had gotten in trouble with some of the remarks that he had said about military, and this was back in 2016. Golly, CNN and MSNBC, wall-to-wall coverage. And these were over, it was over a remark that he had said. Well, here you have 13 deaths. Seems like that's astronomically worse. Nothing from those same networks. They won't give these families time of day. Oh, but they pretend to care, right? They push out certain faces like Tapper and all that. They pretend to care. You're not going to get any specials about these. You're not going to get any interviews with these parents because they're criticized. You can't criticize Biden. You can't. They're all in on protecting him. Now, some of the other stories we're looking at. The Hunter Biden plan to close down the probe. More and more information. I think House Oversight's doing a good job in coming up with all of this. They had a bunch of these Republicans write to Garland asking, why was special counsel appointed after whistleblowers said that y'all were pulling punches and that you handicapped veteran investigators? They sent a letter to Garland asking for some documents. It was a 7-page letter. Jason Smith of Missouri, Jim Jordan, James Comer, who's going to be on with us next hour. They were saying that you guys were kneecapping these investigators looking into this. And why did you appoint special counsel after all of that came out? I mean, it's obvious. The DOJ wants to stonewall. I know some say, oh, well, what are you going to do about it? I see that on Twitter all the time. People, when something like this, if Comer tweets it out or if House Oversight tweets it out, people are asked, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you doing about this then? Well, you realize they're doing what they can do. To prosecute it, that's the Senate. And this is where we are. That's why 24 is important in so many ways. Speaking of which, let's talk about some of the latest with that as well. So Gavin Newsom, Democrats are very quietly, not so quietly anymore. They're enraged that Newsom and DeSantis are getting so much attention. His plan to debate the Florida governor, apparently the White House says it's disrespectful. That comes from, and then some of the key advisors, some of the grumblings are now starting to make their way to the surrogates. So it seems like the White House is displeased because they act like he's running a he's being accused of running a shadow presidential campaign. Duh. Because you have President Daddy Showers McUnity, who can barely read from a damn note card during a meeting with the Costa Rican president. What do you expect? We got headlines coming up. You don't want to miss.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the United States, according to some study, is experiencing a crisis of early death. It's a recent study coming out of Boston that talks about the dire state of public health in the United States. Compared to others, the U.S. death rate far outpaces America's peers. Some researchers say that they're experiencing a crisis of early death, et cetera, et cetera. They're talking about mortality rates, and they get into, I mean, it gets into what, I mean, it, I think it has to do with the opioid epidemic. I mean, ultimately, I think that's a huge fuel is the opioid epidemic. And then they try to like get into health disparities with different demographics, but ultimately it's drugs. That's like what it is. You know what? It was exacerbated with the lockdown. It really was. Polluted air shortens human lifespans more than tobacco, says a totally obvious study that anyone could have written themselves, published in the Wall Street Journal. Today in Duh. They say India and other South Asian countries suffer biggest losses as China tries to reverse damage. Okay, whatever. Roll eyes. Don't believe. But they said that, polluted air, as if you didn't know, super dangerous. I mean, duh. I mean, you know that. That's why you get the air. Would you get the air quality alert thingies? Also, there is, it's called the most expensive trailer park home in the U.S. It is a 2,150 square foot house. It's $4.4 million in the Hamptons, and it's 75 feet from the ocean. It is nestled within the upscale Montauk Shores Trailer Park. The property commands a valuation that rivals that of some of more opulent homes in the area. Two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and sitting just 75 feet from the Atlantic Ocean on the Ditch Plains Surfing Beach. $4.4 million. It doesn't really even have a yard. I mean, it's just like a square that is 70, and it's not even front line. There's like not even really a legit sea view. It's literally the second row away from the ocean. So it makes me think that the trailers that are right there, it is like the bougiest like trailer court I've ever seen in my life. But the ones that are, like, I can't even imagine the ones that are right there on the shoreline. What do you think that is? This one's 4.4? Dude. So, yeah, that's, like, actually more expensive than some of the homes in the area. But it's that proximity to the coastline. And apparently down the road, there's, like, a little path that goes right to the beach. But it doesn't have a yard, per se. It has a deck, and you can kind of get a sea view. But it's not even, like, right there on the coast. It's just, you know, behind another house. That's $4.4 million. That's just wild. We got a lot more on the way. Don't go anywhere. Stick with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Mr. President. Mr. President.
Mr. President. Biden just sat there and stared at them, processed, I guess, what was happening. It's so weird. Dude, he looks weird. Didn't look well. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. That was Peter Doocy yesterday shouting out those questions, just trying to get some kind of answer. Biden's not I cannot see this guy running. How in the hell, for real? I can't stand this pretending stuff. How is this even a thing? How is this guy gonna run? Grief. None of it makes sense. Guy's not supposed to. Yeah, I mean, it none of it. Yeah, this is audio soundbite 4. This is, nobody believes this, literally no one, from KJP.
But how it is hard for us to keep up with this president who is constantly working every day to get things done and making sure that we are delivering for the American people. And I think that's what matters. I get it. I get what you're asking me, but the record matters
not
too, Jake.
Not really quite Emmy worthy, but nobody believes that. You don't believe it, Kane. Can barely keep up with him when he falls down the stairs. It's so hard.
He works every day? That is...
He's been on vacation for a year.
There's nothing true about what she uttered right there.
Not a thing. I mean, dude legit has been on vacation for a year. We have trouble keeping up with him. It's so crazy. Yeah, because we can't find him. That's why we can't keep up with him. We can't find him. He's never at work. He's never in his office. We don't know where he is. He's on the beach. It's hard to keep up with that kind of leisure.
Can't keep up with his nap schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Now, I really don't know how he's gonna. I don't know how he's gonna do it. I don't know. Now, 2024, the first Republican to drop out of the race was a guy that everybody forgot was running. You remember the Democrat who was trying to be a Republican? He could not even qualify, so he tried to pull Burgum. What Burgum did? Burgum was the gift card guy. He was trying to get the 40,000 individual donors, And he's like, oh, if you donate to my campaign, you get a gift card, you know, whatever. And even by trying to raffle off Lionel Messi tickets, Suarez could not make it happen. Francis Suarez, Miami mayor, the guy who shut down beaches and fought with DeSantis because DeSantis wanted him open. Suarez was the only mayor in the race. He goes, I've suspended my campaign for president. We forgot you were running. I mean, he couldn't. He told everyone. He was the guy who told everyone he qualified for the debate when he hadn't. So now he's dropped out. He's done. What was he trying to raise money for? I mean, he didn't even make it to 1% in the polls. He didn't even get that. He didn't even get that far. Seems like a kind of a, you know, it's kind of an issue. You know. But I'm just, you know, that's very, very interesting stuff. Didn't make it. So he's the first. I think the others are going to. Soon, I think you're going to see a more narrowing of the field, although this guy wasn't really anything. I saw, what is it, the next debate that they have is going to be the Fox Business debate, and they're going to be doing it with Univision. And that's going to be the day before my birthday. Thanks, guys. It'll be on the 27th of September. And Stuart Varney and Dana Perino are going to co-moderate it. And that'll be, I actually anticipate she'll probably ask some tough questions, but she's very, cause she's used to this. She's used to this thing, but, that's going to be Fox Business. It'll be from the Reagan Foundation in Simi Valley. And that'll be on the 27th. I got to tell you, I don't think that Trump can afford to miss a debate. I think he needs to be at this next one because one of the things, there were two polls that came out, the 538 one that I wrote about, because I never believe any poll. There was one poll that was very advantageous for DeSantis that I was like, that's a campaign poll. I don't believe it. But the 538 poll, I think it was a massive, several thousand survey size. And the margin of error was like below two. It was very well done. And it showed essentially a +7 gain after the debates for DeSantis. Basically, everybody on stage, with the exception of Christie, performed well. I don't think Pence did well. Haley benefited the most out of the sort of the JV team, but DeSantis actually increased, and Trump lost 8. And then there was another survey coming out showing that it did well for some of these other contenders here. I don't think that he can miss a debate. I don't think that he can. You guys got to remember something. The national stuff is irrelevant right now. They have to appeal. This is all about delegates. They have to appeal to delegates. And in Iowa and some of these other I just don't know how all that's going to play out. Because it doesn't necessarily mean that they're your biggest fans either. So I it's going to be weird to see, but I don't think he can miss another debate. Do you? I think he's got to be there, but I don't know how you do that with you when you got all these cases. Lorraine has a great post up at Chapter and Verse right now. By the way, if you really want a rundown of, you know, a legal recap of everything that he's dealing with. And then there's also, let me pull this up. There's also a move to try to, and I think these are going to be some of the more, some of the more leftist, like Secretary of States in that, because they're trying to, in some of these states, let's see, there's, this was in Florida, Southern District Court of Florida, Lawrence Kaplan, he's a tax attorney. He was filing, I don't know how that's going to work, to remove Trump from the ballot. And Lorraine noted that it's full of spelling errors and misinformation. It's a hot mess of a filing. I mean, only Sidney Powell could have done worse. But the problem is you can't say that you must invalidate someone from being placed on the ballot for a charge that hasn't even manifest, right? You can't say, oh, well, because they incited a riot, so they can't be on the ballot. Well, dude, he was never charged with that. So you can't say that. That's not something you can claim. So it's going to be kind of a weird one. But this, all the other stuff, they're wanting, you're going to get some Democrats and all of this other to try to act in order to determine ballot, like state by state. I mean, I don't, I really, to have a single judge set the precedent that theoretically could open the floodgates. There's a link in the piece. You can find it over at Chapter and Verse on Substack. Robert Gouveia, who's a law tuber. And he was saying, all you need one judge to rule, and the precedent's set. That's all you need. Now, they're all, everybody wants to go to the day before Super Tuesday, which is, this is what I asked yesterday. Isn't it weird? You got to ask yourself, why do these judges all want the day before Super Tuesday? It's weird. Very odd. But there's a great legal recap of where everything stands right now, whether it is the classified document case in Florida, the RICO case, and oh, wait a minute. What did I say? I haven't talked about it for a hot second. It gets into the Mar-a-Lago stuff, right? So it has all of the latest with that. And then we also get into the whole case, the Georgia case. You get into this in the Georgia cases, you know. I have to do it. Do it. Hold on. See, no, you got to have it up all the time. It has to be, otherwise it doesn't exist. I can't say this word. Rico. Only he can say this word. So it gets into the
Rico
charges in Georgia. I really want to play this nonstop. It's just the, I mean, it's like the song, it's like this, it's the time. So in addition to that, then you got the 19 defendants. They're wanting to push that. They're wanting to start that in October. This is going to be a craziness. But 2024, the Mar-a-Lago case, we talked about that before. I think that's actually the one that is the, that's a classified document thing. That's the one where it could get serious. I think people are scared to really kind of talk about this stuff. They're going to get something. I hope you realize this. They're going to get a conviction somewhere. That is not a declaration on the soundness of the case. I'm just telling you what they're going to do. Anyone who's telling you that that's not going to happen, that is a dereliction of duty to the audience. They're going to get something. I know, right? I want $1 million and I don't have that. Life sucks sometimes. But that's the reality of the situation. I'm not going to tell you otherwise because I'd be lying to you. And I'm a horrible liar and why? I mean, don't you agree, Kane? I mean, with all this, they're going to get something and that's the whole point. That's all they want. I will say, and I agree with my friend Kurt Schlichter on the ridiculousness of the Georgia stuff. I think that's a hot mess. The only thing that looks serious enough to actually maybe persuade people, because the classified doc thing, I don't think Trump made that easy on himself, just be honest. That's not a statement on whether you like him or not. It is a statement of fact. But we got to be able to separate this stuff still if you want to win. I'm all about winning. I want to win in 2024, and I will whatever possible. I want to win in 2024. The left acts like that's a bad thing. I'm at least honest about it. They're going to blow smoke up your butt. They act like that's a bad thing. But they're going to get them on something, and you got to realize that. And then what's going to happen is you're going to start seeing these fights state by state. So bookmark that piece from Lorraine, because you're going to pull that back up. You're going to see these fights state by state where they're going to try to invalidate him from the ballot based on a conviction or based on whatever that may be. That is what you're dealing with right now. That's what you're dealing with. And again, that's not a statement of like Trump or dislike him. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. And you got to have a plan. You have to have a plan for 2024. Do not allow these people to pick your nominee or to pick your strategy. Do not get Sun Tzu'd by the dumbest people on the planet, please. And we'll talk more about that as we get into it. But I just need you to be aware of that. That's going to happen. Now, we got a Florida man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So you all know in Florida, obviously, they're dealing with storm surges and hurricanes and all kinds of stuff. But one CNN meteorologist had his live shot entertainingly interrupted by some residents who were literally sailing past him on a camouflage duck. Here's the video.
So we're going to step away from this the seriousness of this storm for just one second. You got to bear with me because this is something you don't see every day. Guys, what are you doing? Literally, we are. This is a very new way to beat rush hour traffic on Bayshore Boulevard in Tampa. These guys are kayaking down this major thoroughfare, Tampa, over my shoulder here. I mean, look at that. I don't want to minimize the serious nature of this storm, but this is what people are dealing with.
Because Florida keeps its sense of humor, that's why. I mean, I love that if it's not like, we're going to ride it out, then you got a camouflage duck. I love it, though. That's so great. And I immediately was like, where can I find that on Amazon? And because I just feel like that's something that you need. You know, everybody should have a camera. Did it have sunglasses on? The duck? What was that on its eyes? Or was it like a sleeping mask? That was the other thing. And then I couldn't tell. At first, I thought the other dude had a pirate hat, but it was just like a sun hat, which is hysterical also. All right. So next up, a Florida man painted white told deputies that he is the Joker while threatening them with a crowbar. Now, I just got to say, painted white is, I don't know. I am so confused as to what this guy was trying to do. So this is Santa Rosa County. A suspicious person with a crowbar was at the Best Western on Sunday, and they confronted a man named Anthony Moreno. He was covered with white paint on his head, face, and body, and he had a crowbar in his hands. And I don't know what he's doing, because it looks like he was very particular in how he applied it to his hair. I don't know. It was just weird. The deputies offered him some food and a drink in exchange for the crowbar, but he met them with, quote, more threats and talk about the government and that this was the last encounter. Totally covered with white paint. And Moreno told officers that he was the Joker. That's why he's in the paint. You know, the Joker. They said he was, this is where it even gets crazier, completely covered in white paint, even under his clothes. So he painted himself white and then put his clothes on. So they persuaded him to drop the crowbar. And he's being held now on 3 counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer. And he's being held in the Santa Rosa County Jail on $15,000 bond. Okay. All right. So that he's dedicated.
Can he exercise white privilege?
Oh, man. You just had to do that, didn't you? You just had to do it. You did. You did. Probably. I mean, I would imagine. You know, you can. I'm sure. Let's see. There was another Florida man that was riding his bicycle around Tampa Bay in the middle of the storm. Please be safe. Another guy who wore a scream mask to rob folks. And then we got these guys. A Florida man and his accomplice, they tried to buy car parts with fake credit cards. They got arrested, finally. Look, I'm not telling you to commit crimes, but if you're going to commit a crime, you can't just like immediately go and buy $22,000 worth of auto parts with fraudulent cards. Like, I mean, you do a big ticket thing like that, and that's going to immediately set off alarm bells, right? Both of them are from Orlando. 19-year-old Ernest Ashlett and 30-year-old Sebastian Mombus. They were caught trying to buy all of these auto parts. And they apparently only went to like a couple of different places too. Just dumb. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. And we have Congressman Jim Comer going to be joining us.
Daughters, does he care that girls are allowed to compete in sports without fear of injury? Does he think it's fair for girls to have to compete against biological males?
I just answered the question. It is a complicated issue. It is truly a complicated issue with a wide range of views, There is no yes or no answer to this. It is complicated. There's a rule that the Department of Education has put forward, and we're going to let that process move forward. We want to make sure that while we establish guardrails with this rule, that we also prevent discrimination as well against transgender kids. But again, a complicated issue with a wide range of views, and we respect
that. It's not, though. It's really not. I mean, it's pretty simple, actually. It's not a complicated thing. No, she can sit here and say that over and over again. It doesn't make it true just because she says it more. It's not like putting paint on a wall. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you, our top of this third hour. We got James Comer coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk about all of the latest with, everything that they've uncovered in this Biden investigation. But KJP asked yesterday about whether or not the president believes that girls should have to endure boys in their sports. She just couldn't answer. It's just very, it's not fair. It's, you know, does he think it's fair for girls to compete? She can't answer. He doesn't even know. Golly, you want to watch him short circuit? Ask that. Good heavens. But it isn't, though. It's not, and she's trying to, I guess, touch on Title IX and all this stuff. It's not discrimination either. It's discrimination to force girls to accommodate someone who's cosplaying as them and has the amount of testosterone in their system that if the girls had that in their system, they'd be disqualified for doping. So, no, it's not at all complicated. And that's a true story. You guys know it, too. I mean, it's not. It just simply isn't. If you want to have your own sports league, then do it. But we're not going to sit here and treat girls as like the JV. We're not doing that. And they don't have an answer on anything, do they?
No.
Nothing. Not an answer on anything. Am I supposed to care? I know the media is trying to make a big deal about this Mitch McConnell video. He apparently had a little bit of an issue again at another press avail. I mean, the guy's, he's elderly. But whether, I mean, does he have a health issue? It seems to me like he's got a health issue. But the media wants you to care about this more than the guy who literally is in the most powerful office in the world having to be worse off. This is what happened with McConnell just, earlier today? Yeah, watch this.
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh, that's
Maybe he's thinking.
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry, you all. We're going to need a minute. Senator. Benny.
Yep.
He's like gripping the side of the podium. I don't know if it's like a, some parts of it, it almost is reminiscent of a kind of seizure. And other part, I don't know if it's a, it doesn't seem like it's a, like a mini stroke. We were talking about that. But troubling all the same. Look, I know Mitch McConnell gets criticism on stuff and, you know, he gets criticism on things that he deserves. And I think one of the things that isn't deserved is overlooking how he literally made Trump's judicial agenda possible. You wouldn't have a conservative Supreme Court without Mitch McConnell being there because somebody had to thwart Chuck Schumer and thwart Democrats in the Senate. And you have to be an encyclopedia of parliamentarian moves on that to try to get past the tricks that Democrats were pulling. I know he's in his winter now, but I don't think, you know, give criticism where it's due. I mean, I have for sure. He's never been on the show. I don't think he's people like me. But you would not have the Supreme Court that you have without Mitch McConnell. And you would not have a number of these judges having been selected by the previous administration and pushed through that confirmation process had you not had Mitch McConnell. That's one thing that's indisputable. I mean, that is one of the things, you know how some people got a particular set of skills? That was his. And was very, very good at getting that done. At Trump's judicial agenda would never have happened. True. True story. He made it happen. He got him through there. He protected Kavanaugh through that process, and he made sure Kavanaugh lasted as they were pulling all these, you know, all these stops out. He got Kavanaugh to the point where Kavanaugh proved himself with his Clarence Thomas moment. So that's, you know, and I mean, nobody, not even Graham, doesn't have the strategic mindset for that McConnell has. But I'm going to tell you one thing: I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be concerned. I mean, apparently this stuff isn't concerning for the left when it concerns Fetterman. Mitch McConnell's been doing his job and in there in the seat, and he doesn't wear cargo shorts. He shows up and does the job. It's not like the White House, most powerful office in the world, and the occupant has been on vacation for a year of it. And that's not an exaggeration. He's literally been on vacation over 365 days. I don't even know what I would do with myself that much vacation time. I would be bored out of my mind and impossible to be dealt with. Ugh. When I get bored, I get rowdy. Oh my gosh. Kane's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you don't get to take them. How absolutely unbearable would I be? Oh my word. So I'm not concerned because of those things, right, Kane?
Right.
Yeah. We were told it's not concerning, right? Yeah, not concerning. Biden's fine. This is fine. Can we talk for a second? I want to totally switch gears. I don't really care about the Russian stuff. I'm going to be honest with you. When they're talking about the warlord whose plane accidentally fell out of the window. Because I'm like, oh, Russian thugs killing Russian thugs. Okay, so it's like a self-cleaning oven. I don't know. I mean, But I do think it's like Days of Our Russia. This is more convoluted than... That's a soap opera my grandma watched. The Days of Our Lives with the hourglass. That damn Stefano. So, this Prigozhin guy, who was supposed to have been in the plane that was shot out of the sky, and it was conveniently captured from start to finish on video, just, you know, by chance. Apparently now, the word is that it was a doppelganger, right? And it wasn't him. That's the story, right? It was a doppelganger, and now he's wherever he is planning his revenge. Is that true? I mean, this legit is like a Stefano thing. In the town of Salem. I mean, it's just sad. It is. They said that there's a lot of speculation whether he was in the aircraft. There was some story where they were saying, no, it was all fake. They were dummies in the aircraft, and they were all headless. I mean, it just gets crazier the more I read. I don't even know. They said, oh, no, he uses body doubles. This is getting more and more, this is getting crazier and crazier, the story. And so they said that Moscow is acting to cover up the circumstances. I mean, it's Russia. Do you honestly think you're going to get a straight story here? For real. I wouldn't be surprised if he had 50 body doubles. I wouldn't be surprised if he has never been seen in public because they're all body doubles. I wouldn't be surprised if Vladimir Putin is just an animatronic pillow person and that's, you know, that's why he looks puffy. I wouldn't be surprised at that either. I mean, I really don't care about any of this. I'm just here for the entertainment value. Because if they're going to fight and kill each other, okay, go ahead. Like, go ahead and fight and have the Kremlin fight itself. Go ahead. I mean, they're mercenary warlords. What did you think you were going to get with that? I thought he was going to be a nice mercenary warlord. It's not really how that happens, okay? But, yeah, apparently they had, a plane crashed and there, I don't know if there was a dude on it or not. They had this lady that was said to be his widow, pictured looking sad at his grave. He was sad at his grave and... if you wanted to play up your whole body double thing, I think that's what you would do, right? I don't know. They have all these pictures of him with like fake beards and he was known to use these disguises. Have you seen the disguises that he was supposed to use? Because I can't take this seriously anymore. So I saw they had it like the Brady Bunch, all of this guy with his disguises. They're so bad. They are so bad. I mean, the beards look so fake. They look horrible. I mean, you look at it and you're like, this guy is fake. This is a fake beard. I just can't imagine that this was at all serious. But they said that the cemetery that he was in, it's the most protected in the world. And no one saw Prigozhin's body at any point during the funeral. Okay. I just think the guy this is some Banana Republic stuff. Juan's going to throw it up there because it's ridiculous. He's got one where he's got a black beard that he's got taped underneath his face going towards like, and it looks so bad. And then he's got a toupee on one and he's got a flock of seagulls hairstyle. And then in another one, he's got another fake black beard that's not even positioned right on his face. And these hipster glasses like a barista would wear at a Starbucks downtown. And that's a we're supposed to think that that is not convincing. That's the big elaborate. Those are the elaborate disguises. Who was fooled? The Kremlin was fooled by this? Oh my gosh. Oh, who is that? I thought it was Prigozhin. Apparently it is not. What? He's disappeared. Who is this guy with the hair? Nobody. Really? This shocks you?
One looks like an alpaca chin strap.
Dude, right? Do you see the Flock of Seagulls haircut? Look at the hipster glasses. You said you wanted soy milk, yes? I mean, Kylie, I just find this whole thing funny. Stefano. So, I don't know. They're still there. Moscow's acting like they took him down. Apparently, he's not. He's plotting his revenge. As the world turns, really is something. We have headlines on the way. And then coming up, James Comer joins us. Because I'm just curious, you know, how in the world is it that with everything that we know, like now we know that one of the underlings from Merrick Garland was contacting the Gary Shapley, the IRS whistleblower, to discuss all of these allegations before he even testified. And then there was this deal struck with Biden. I mean, who else gets a leg up like this in the system? We're going to talk to James Comer about that and all the other stuff, all the other developments with this case. And what's the House going to do?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I saw a photo, some of the destruction in Tallahassee. A 100-year-old oak tree apparently fell on the governor's mansion in Tallahassee in the wake of Hurricane Idalia. It was shared by the First Lady of Florida, Casey DeSantis, saying that she and the kids were home at the time when it all came through. But thankfully, she said nobody was injured. But that is a massive tree. And that's, golly, that's a massive tree. But yeah, that's something else. So thankfully, everybody's okay. I just saw also some photos of some of the line crews and some of these other folks making sure that power's being restored. They're doing it slowly but surely. They're waiting for the winds to die down before they're able to actually send everybody out there to climb the ladders and be safe. So our prayers are with them as they do so. Let's see. This is an interesting thing. Apparently, Department of Transportation fined American Airlines $4.1 million for unlawfully keeping thousands of passengers on the tarmac for hours. That's, golly, $4.1. They said that it violates federal statutes and the department's rule prohibiting tarmac delays of 3 hours or more on domestic flights. That you can't be held there without letting passengers off. Now, I've been held, I think, one time for 4 hours, but they allowed you to get off to use the, if you need, because there was so many people that needed to use the restroom or get something to eat. They would allow people to get off and then go through and get back in. But I've never I know that that has happened to people though before. So that's very interested. Now, apparently, Secretary Mayor Buttigieg is—that's like he's waving that like a big win for him. Oh, he did his job one time. That's, look at that. A man was arrested at Harry Reid International in Nevada, accused of trafficking over 15 pounds of cocaine. That's a lot. What? How are you doing that at the airport? That's a lot. Like, how do you, you got to know that you're going to get caught. Don't they have drug sniffing dogs everywhere? I'm like, if you're going to have a drug sniffing dog, you're probably going to have it in Nevada's airport. So this, the Ozempic appears to curb patients' cravings for booze, cigarettes, and gambling. Isn't that the diabetes thing that all the Hollywood people are taking? So they said that it helps people beat their addictions. How does that do it? If it's a diabetes drug, how does it stop gambling? They said that it has to do with, I mean, it's anecdotal, they say, but it's helped smokers and drinkers curb cravings too. And they said that it has to do with the part of the brain that like regulates all of that. And like, what is it? Like the pleasure release. Yeah. That's very interesting. So I don't know how that's going to factor in. Maybe there's like other ways that can be used for treatments for other things, but that's kind of interesting. And then also, let's scroll down here. Oh, I'm having trouble. We got one last thing. Mississippi alligator state record. I don't know if you saw this thing. It's like a monster gator, longest ever in their history by hunters. And it weighed 14 feet. James Comer next.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Now the media is willing to accept that indeed Hunter Biden was running an influence peddling operation, but they insist that he was just selling the illusion of influence and access. Well, how do we know that? Do you just assume that? These emails could go a long way to determining what was a deliverable and whether it went beyond an illusion.
Well, I think the American people, everybody deserves to know this. That was Jonathan Turley talking about some of the latest developments in this ongoing. I mean, this is getting so I made the joke earlier. My grandmother used to watch soap operas in the afternoon, and this is even more convoluted and more dramatic than anything that she ever watched in the afternoon, because that's how busy this family was selling influence and enriching themselves off of it. And every day we're finding out more, because House Oversight's doing such a great job at uncovering everything that they've been trying to hide. Joining us now, Representative James Comer, chairman of House Oversight, who's been doing a lot of work, a lot of digging. Congressman, good to have you. Thank you so much. One of the things that I was thinking about when we were looking at some of the latest developments, like, for instance, the archives and all of these pseudonyms that Joe Biden had been using, thousands of them. I'm curious. I mean, why have they not been forthcoming in giving you this information? It's not classified.
No, and I'm furious that it's taken us this long to figure out that they had pseudonyms. I can't help but think, since there were 5,400 emails in pseudonyms, that the National Archives has known all along about this. And we requested information months ago when we began the investigation from the National Archives about all correspondence between Joe Biden and pertaining to Ukraine and anything Hunter Biden was tagged on, and we got nothing, virtually nothing back. And I thought, that's odd. You know, they were obviously probably trying to hide something, and they weren't communicating by email. They were probably doing it by WhatsApp. That's kind of what these government employees are doing now. But then we could figure out that they were using pseudonyms. We re-request the information in the names of the pseudonyms, and lo and behold, there's 5,400 emails. But because they happened in the Obama administration, because many of them have been redacted, Barack Obama has to give us approval, according to the National Archives, to get those. So we are now waiting, and he has 30 days, President Obama has 30 days to decide whether or not he's going to give us those unredacted emails in the pseudonyms.
So just to recap what Representative Comer just said, they're waiting for former President Obama to sign off to allow the National Archives and Records Administration to give you this information about Joe Biden and all the different names that he used to talk about the weather, right? Presumably.
Right. Right. You know, and the one email that we do have in the pseudonym that had Hunter Biden copied on it, that's explosive. I know that a lot of the media got out, you know, they were all covering the pseudonyms, the fact that Joe Biden was using pseudonyms. But to me, the biggest story there was that Hunter Biden was, in fact, copied on a government email pertaining to Ukraine at the same time that Devin Archer testified that he was being squeezed by Burisma owners to call Washington for help, the same Burisma owner who there was an FBI Form 1023 that allegedly bribed Joe Biden and Hunter Biden for terminating the prosecutor. All of this is connected. The timelines are connected. We have the testimony from Devin Archer. And, you know, what Jonathan Turley said in your opening, there are policy decisions that Joe Biden made that we believe were made because he was paid, because his family was paid. And this is at the top of the list. Firing the prosecutor who was investigating his son for corruption. And that's a pretty explosive charge there, but all the evidence is there that would suggest it. And I think there are more emails that they use pseudonyms where Hunter was copied, but they've redacted Hunter's name on them.
And her talking with Congressman James Comer, who's, I mean, that's a new one. The some of the stuff that you're telling me now is new information I didn't have. Do you anticipate the former president Barack Obama signing off on this? I mean, how do you think he will?
Well, the last time we had to get his sign off on something, he took the full 30 days, but it's my understanding that he did allow us to have that. So, of course, that information really didn't amount to anything. Mm-hmm. We believe this information will. So we'll see if he is as agreeable this time as he was the last time. So what they're doing is they're reviewing these emails. And, you know, my question, if in fact we do get these emails and there were redactions of Hunter Biden's name being copied on them, who redacted that and why? Why would you redact who's copied on the emails? These aren't classified emails. You know, the questions are so many here. Why was the Joe Biden using a pseudonym to talk about foreign policy? Because, you know, there are politicians who have used pseudonyms before, but they used it for personal reasons. Okay, this email is pertaining to my personal schedule. My son has a baseball game. I've got an email account that my wife's going to be copied on about the schedule or whatever. That wasn't the case here. These were pseudonyms used for major policy decisions, and copying Hunter Biden, who's his adult son, who just so happens to be the subject of the investigation by the prosecutor that Joe Biden's wanting to get fired. I mean, this is going to get harder and harder for Jamie Raskins and Goldman to walk out to MSNBC and continue their lies and their cover-ups on. I mean, this is obvious what happened here with the corruption led by Joe Biden.
And it also brings up another question, Congressman, and I know this is something that you've all been exploring as well. I mean, does this, because this began when Joe Biden was vice president, it's hard to imagine that this was going on right under Barack Obama's nose and him not being in on it, frankly.
Well, I don't know if Barack Obama was in on it or not, but I believe Barack Obama knew about it, which is just as bad. Because you remember, at this point in the administration, Barack Obama's term limited out. But he's young, he's charismatic, he knows he's going to make a bunch of money in the private sector. Because at this point is when the politicians try to figure out what they're going to do to make money in the private sector. Barack Obama knew he could make money in speeches, and he would write books and people would buy it. Joe Biden knew nobody's going to buy his darn book. Nobody gives a crap about Joe Biden, right? No board was going to hire him. He wasn't going to be like Dick Cheney and be hired to be CEO of a big publicly traded company. The only thing Joe Biden could think of he could do to profit was off his vice presidency, was off his last name. And he was using Hunter as a front man. And Hunter was in trouble in Ukraine because of the shady deal he was involved in with a company named Burisma. Burisma was under investigation by this brand new prosecutor, Shokin, who there was never any evidence was corrupt. Mm. So Joe Biden created a narrative, much like they created the narrative with the Steele dossier. You know, the Democrats tell the media what to report. Oh, the Steele dossier shows Trump colluded with Russia. They did the same thing here with Shokin in Ukraine. They say, oh, this prosecutor's corrupt. But what we found 2 weeks ago was an email from Obama's State Department to Shokin thanking him for the good work he's doing in his reform efforts in Ukraine. So there was never any evidence that would suggest that Shokin was corrupt. The only mistake Shokin made was he was investigating Joe Biden's son for corruption.
We're talking with, this is unbelievable, talking with Congressman James Comer on all of this. One of the other, I mean, going into some of the Department of Justice, I know everyone's been rightly critical of David Weiss, the guy who structured this sweetheart deal for Hunter Biden. I get the game they're playing. They're going to try to wait out statute of limitations. I get it. It's not begging the question to say that there was some collusion with the DOJ and that Merrick Garland's all in on it and is aware of this. I mean, it just, at this point, it's what can be done to sort of, you can't really trust Garland on this. This is not a fair pursuit of truth. How do you remedy this?
Well, I think our actions have already created results because the judge in Delaware kicked out that sweetheart plea deal based on the letters that Congress sent her. The letters detailed all the crimes that Hunter Biden committed. I mean, he's committed violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act. He's committed money laundering. He's committed tax evasion. He's committed wire fraud. I mean, I would suggest he's committed racketeering. The list goes on and on and on. And the judge started reading those. And that's when the sweetheart deal fell apart. Were it not for congressional investigation, were it not for the Republican majority, Hunter Biden would have been granted immunity forever. And no one could ever, no one would ever be
That's
held
an important
accountable.
Point.
It is. It is. And you know, that's something that, that McCarthy talks about. I know everybody's frustrated with Republican majority of the House because the Democrats still control the Senate and we've got a Democrat White House. But the one thing that we've been able to deliver on is the subpoena power that, that my committee has. And we've been able to prove that Joe Biden was corrupt, that his family was corrupt, that the Department of Justice was weaponized. They did treat the Bidens differently than they are currently treating Trump. And the judge picked up on it and kicked it out. So I think that now we could keep an eye on anything pertaining to a court of law, and we will submit to the judge the evidence. And even though the mainstream media won't accept the fact that there's overwhelming evidence against the Bidens, the judges will. Mm. So I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to hold these people accountable. It would be a lot easier if we had a Republican president and a capable, credible Republican attorney general, but unfortunately we don't.
Exactly. Last question for you, Congressman James Comer. You know, that's one of the things, because y'all are getting ready to go back, and I know that a budget battle is going to be one of the first things that y'all are going to be involved in. That's something that's come up because, you know, obviously Democrat Senate, there's only so much the House can do because you have to have the Senate, you know, to prosecute some of this stuff. And then, of course, you know, the AG, if you don't have a Republican president, you're going to have somebody like Merrick Garland. So what does that do to the strategy of withholding funding? And I know it's kind of a touchy one for some members in purple districts because it's going we're going into an election year.
Yeah, I don't really understand why it's so difficult for some of those members. I'm sympathetic to members in purple districts, and I know their constituents talk to them about completely different issues than my constituents in a very ruby red district talk about. However, I think we've made the case that there are people in our government that have contributed to this cover-up of Biden corruption, and they need to be held accountable. We've got a Department of Justice that lied about collusion with Russia. They've tried to give the Biden family a deal that no one in the history of America ever would have gotten: complete blanket immunity for the rest of their lives. That's what the deal was for Hunter Biden, and the FBI has lied to us. They have lied time after time after time. And then we have a border that's not secure. No one in America can argue that we have a secure border and a competent Homeland Security director. So, you know, I believe that there are areas that surely to goodness we can agree on to cut. And I hope that as we speak, our, you know, leadership is sitting down working with the various factions, because we have moderates that want to increase spending. And we have people like me that want to significantly decrease spending. But we have to realize I'm not going to get everything I want. The moderates aren't going to get everything they want. But surely to goodness, one thing that we can agree on and sell in the Senate is that there are people in the Department of Justice and at the FBI and at the IRS who need to be held accountable. And we can hold them accountable, surely, without cutting Social Security and cutting Medicare and cutting essential services that every American expects the government to provide.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting watching y'all go back in the House. We're going to be watching that fight and seeing how the Senate responds as well. James Comer, appreciate what you're doing as part of House Oversight, leading the committee. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Eric Adams, the New York mayor, is saying about these migrants in New York City, any plan that does not include stopping the flow at the border is a failed plan. So why aren't you guys stopping the flow at the border?
We are stopping the flow at the border. If anything, what the president has been able to do on his own without the help of Republicans in Congress, something that he had to do on his own again because Republicans refuse to give the funding necessary to deal with a situation, a broken immigration system that has been broken for decades. They choose, what they choose to do is play politics, but the president has put a plan that is indeed, the data showing is that it is indeed slowing down the flow of unlawful migration, and that is because of the work that this president continues to do without the help of Republicans.
Without the help of Republicans? I mean, you realize that it's been Republicans who have kind of held the line, not kind of, that have, they've held the line at the border, that it is Republican governors, and not even governors, but Republican mayors and even some Democrat mayors that have been dealing with the influx at the border for years, and that taxpayers in border states have been dealing with this influx for years. And people who live in border towns have seen the strain on their resources that they in turn end up having to pay even extra for. And this has been going on for years. In fact, these individuals haven't had the help from this administration. MIA President Daddy Showers McUnity. Is he asleep somewhere? Where's he at? Is he at work today?
He was just talking, actually.
Did he already call a lid? Oh, he said he saw the devastation in Maui. Was that before he took his nap there at the actual memorial service?
Well rested. But
one of the things that we ran out of time that I was going to ask Comer about is that they're actually now triggering an investigation into federal response for Maui because it has been convoluted and confusing. And then also the letdown that for the state's response for this. I mean, this is everything that these investigators are coming out with looks absolutely, I mean, it looks criminal. And they're still searching for survivors. I mean, there are entire families that were burned alive. And because you have a water equity dude and then sirens that didn't go off. And then wasn't it the water equity dude who was trying to say that those were just used for tsunamis when in fact they're used for like all natural disasters? Shameful. All right, today's stupidity, Kane.
Well, and to your point, he is only talking about the impact of climate change as it relates to these things. Listen to what the president just said minutes ago.
I don't think anybody can deny the impact of the climate crisis anymore. Just look around.
Look around. We're going to try and spend more of your money to attack this climate crisis, everybody.
We're going to throw more money at the sun, load it up in a giant trebuchet and just fling it at the sun.
Actually, I would prefer this guy take nothing but naps.
Yeah, actually.
You know what I mean?
I don't know, but it's the people that are using him as the avatar.
Yeah, those
are the people that are actually doing all of this stuff. Yeah. All right, folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a wonderful evening. Make sure to find us on Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. And also, Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us there. Have a great night.